is Tennessee Talks with United States Congressman Tim Burchett.
Everybody, I'm Congressman Tim Burchett, and welcome back to Tennessee Talks. It just keeps getting better. Today, I'm joined by my very good friend, Anthony Mountain. And Anthony is president of Homesteader, Inc., that's located in New Tazewell, Tennessee. And Homesteader started manufacturing trailers in 1985, and they haven't really stopped since. They produce cargo trailers, hydraulic dump trailers, enclosed car hauler trailers, and horse trailers. And they're the largest... You're the largest family-owned trailer manufacturer in the country, if I...
Largest single-site enclosed cargo trailer manufacturer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just right here in East Tennessee, folks. Y'all started in 1985. Tell me a little bit, Anthony, how that business started.
Well, it started basically because our local manufacturer of... RVs went out of business.
Right.
And my dad was the comptroller there, and they were the largest employer in the county at the time.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, Midas RV was where DeRoyal's at down the road now. And so Midas was the number one manufacturer of Class C mini homes in the nation at the time that they closed down. So it's pretty hard economic hit on our county, and
I'd say what caused it? Was it the recession, or was it just
actually no? It was basically what happens with companies: they get bought and sold and
mismanaged.
They were bought up by another conglomerate, and they decided. Well, actually, they were bought by their number one competitor, who was number two, and the competitor bought it out, Coachman RV.
Right.
And they decided that they would close Midas's facilities and feed all that into their operations, hopefully. And it was pretty devastating for our county.
Yep.
And a couple years went by, and Dad decided to venture out with a partner on his own, and we started Homesteader.
Well, what kind of growth have y'all seen since then? It's been, I mean, at first, I'm sure it was a little bit of a struggle, but you got your feet in the door, and then it just took off.
Well, it was a whole lot of trial and error. We had a lot of tries and made a lot of errors.
You're not talking about the horse business, are you?
Well, the horse business is always an error. Anybody that owns a
day
horse.
Day one. Yeah, you and me both. I talked to a guy the other day. I was telling him about Isabel. Had won this thing, and won a little money, you know, and he said, man, you're ready to retire. And I said, but nothing like, and he'd won a couple hundred thousand.
Yeah.
And he said, Tim, your rate of return was much better than mine. And I was like, what the heck, man? You know that, though. You know that. With Rose riding them things.
Yep.
Hey, so that's how you got into the trailer business.
Yeah.
It's kind of a... you saw a necessity.
Yeah, we had the necessity. We would like to eat. And
now you did houseboats at one time too, right?
We did. We when we started, we were actually in the RV business. We started with travel trailers, and we started with park model trailers. And park model is basically just a miniature mobile home.
Right.
And there was a manufacturer here that was building park models, Giles. Here in town was building park models, and James Giles decided he was getting out of the park model business, and that gave us a entry into that. He had a customer base, and talked him into letting us use his building and continuing that product. So with that little springboard, we were able to kick off, and park models were good for a while. Travel trailers were a thing that we really wanted to do, but economies of scale scaled us right out. And so...
Really, it's hard. I'd say it's hard to compete with the Claytons of the world and people like that.
Well, there were big RV manufacturers in Elkhart, Indiana. It was the trailer capital of the world. And we were trying to build a couple RVs a day, and they were building a couple hundred a day. So, we were a little behind the eight ball.
Yeah. Well, tell me about a day in the job. I know your boy Remington, my buddy, works here with you. And every day would have to be a little different.
It is.
I mean, I pulled in, and I pulled in big loads of lumber coming in and big loads of steel coming in. I mean, it's just a different something every day. And of course, with the supply chain and COVID and all that, I mean, that just had to be a nightmare for y'all.
It was. We had, like a lot of businesses, a lot of struggles and challenges with COVID. It was finding our components every day, and everything just went ballistic. We had parts that we traditionally would pay $15 for. We were paying $150 for, shipping it in from all over the country. And
now, how does that? You just eat it though when you've made a contract with somebody to sell for something.
Well, knock on wood, we're not contractually obligated. We're sale to sale, and that was good. We would have, if we were under contract, we would have not been here today. I'd been calling Congressman Tim Burchett for.
work on the campaign?
Yeah, see what I could do.
Well, tell me a little bit about the craftsmanship. I know y'all take a lot of pride in what you do. I walk around out here. I've seen trailer manufacturers that, you'd pray to let your dog run through the yard.
Right.
Out here, I mean, it's clean as a pen, man.
Well, it starts with housekeeping. You can't have a good product if you don't have a clean house. And we do pride ourselves on our facilities. And furthermore, it falls into the product. We do try to build a good thing. Our setup is to build a good thing at a good value, and that's been our motto from day one, and it's held true, and it's been successful.
You know, I travel all over the country. I mean, even D.C. I've seen your trailers at the airport, the construction people working there. I see that Homesteader sticker, and I get kind of tickled. I mean, it kind of gives me a little bit of pride. That's East Tennessee, and that's people that I know, and it's amazing to me just how far reached you all, how much reach you all have in the country. It's I guess, I don't know if you're international or not. I don't travel much overseas.
Yeah.
But,
well, we actually have product overseas. We've built trailers that have gone to Japan and Australia. We've got a little business, not much, but in Canada. But for the majority of what we do, it's within the United States, 99.8%.
Right.
And we stay east of the Mississippi for the most part.
I say that Holland bill would.
Freight's a big part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting our product to market is a big deal. But we are geographically advantaged because we can be within a day's drive. We're within 75% of the population. So,
yeah.
Welcome to East Tennessee.
Yeah, East Tennessee is where it's at. And of course, your business is here in East Tennessee. What does that mean to you that you can stay here in East Tennessee? The tax rate in Tennessee is favorable to business, and also it's a right to work state.
Yeah,
that's something.
Big deal, and that's why we're having so many other industries clamor in here.
And that's going to compete for workers.
For workers, it is, and that's it's part of it. So.
Well, tell me about what you think the future of Homesteader is. I know Remington's sitting right over there. I guess that is the future of Homesteader.
He's the future. I'm the past.
What do you think is going to happen in the future, brother?
I think it's going to be good.
I do too. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But
that's
it's
right.
But it's more people. If you got a lawn business, and now people are wanting you to bring the service to them.
Yeah.
I see these mobile car washes. I see all this stuff, and it just seems that is a good future. And if you don't have we've got quite a few around the farm there, but if you don't have a trailer just to haul wood or anything, I mean, it's just, Mama gets a little ticked off when you got to haul that in the Tahoe.
Yeah.
I think you've probably run into that a couple times.
Well, with pickup trucks costing six figures now.
Yeah, that ain't no.
Everybody has a need for a trailer, and we're grateful for that. We want them to need more. And I think so long as, unless we get all electric vehicles, and I guess we'll all be staying within a 5-mile radius of home at that point. We've got a
3%, 3 to 4% all vehicles on the road are electric. I could do a whole story on just the myth of the electric vehicle. You see the head of these major car corporations, some little 30-plus-year-old guy with a man bun, he ain't ever turned a wrench. You know, I was on a national show the other day. I said, I like the smell of gas and oil. It doesn't scare me one bit.
It smells like money.
It smells like money. It's like my buddy Teddy Phillips told me. He said, Tim, he said, when they can put a solar panel on a Caterpillar D8, I'll talk to him. But until then, we're running diesel.
So there was an electric, I passed on the other day, a big excavator, a Komatsu, driving down the road.
Really?
Yeah, well, it wasn't driving down the road.
Right.
Being carried. An electric Komatsu, like a 320 cat.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, this will be interesting in the woods when it breaks down.
Yeah, or when it gets wet.
Or runs out of juice.
Yeah, you're going to get that. You're going to
bring
it.
The mobile call on that's going to be fun.
Because you can't just, it's not like I'll just pour some in and bleed the injectors off.
It's not going to happen.
No, you're going to be out there several hours. And I was talking to somebody and they said, you know, the trouble with is that you'd have to have something about twice the size of the tractor to make it equal to what would carry a diesel. Well, this is the part of the show that I dislike the most and my guests like the most, that you get to ask me anything. You got anything you want to ask me, Anthony?
Oh, my goodness. You and I have talked several times, so we've had a lot of questions. I don't know. I guess maybe on a personal level, what's the best thing about your job?
Coming home.
That's a good answer. That's exactly what I would say.
I can have the best day in Washington, D.C. And come home and it's raining, the cable TV's out, the fences are knocked down, horses are running everywhere, and my girls are mad at me. And I tell you, thank you, Lord, I'm home. Because I do not, Washington is not home. And that's part of the problem. I think too many people just try to live there and become part of that lifestyle, and that ain't East Tennessee, brother.
No.
You know, the people aren't friendly. It's a good place to get mugged, and it's that gum is expensive, and the food is not as good. And you know, it's amazing to me. You know, you'll hold a door open for a lady or something, and they'll like. I mean, I've had some even get offended at it, but others are just like, thank you so much. Where are you from? You mean just because you don't even think about it here? It's you're going through somewhere, and, you know.
Swing the door, here we go.
Yeah, here we go. Come on, y'all, come on in. And then you know, it's just a different lifestyle, and it's terrible. But, brother, I appreciate you more than you know. Your work ethic, your friendship to me and my family and my girls, they love your girls, and I'm kind of fond of old Remington over there. So, Remington, you want to jump in here and say it? You want any FaceTime? You want to say anything?
That's okay.
You good? All right, brother. Smart man.
Well, behind the scenes.
Well, Anthony, again, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for all you do.
It's been a really...
For East Tennessee.
Well, thank you, brother. Thanks for letting me do it. You're with me.
At least we have an expression up there, right?
Yeah. Well, you were with me early on, and it makes me feel good because I'm serving on the Transportation Committee, and when things come through that dealing with trailers, it's always good that I can pick up the phone and I don't have to talk to some dadgum lawyer. I can call the man who understands it and tells me what the truth is, and I don't get a lot of BS, and I dig that. Yeah. So, and I love having the local business owners because that's entrepreneurship.
It's the backbone of our country.
It is, and then when we bend over backwards for these huge corporations to come in, And the net gain is basically nothing.
Yeah.
But this is where it's at. These are families that live in the community. It's your family. It's not like, you know, you're profitable and you're successful. And dadgum, you should be. But it's not like you're taking the money and sticking it in a dadgum pillow. You know, you invest it in the community, and that creates more jobs. And I mean, I call that, when I was mayor, it was called natural growth. We never had to raise taxes because we promoted natural growth, and that's exactly what this is. But thank you again for coming on, and thank you for what you do for the great folks here in East Tennessee. And I'm Congressman Neil.
East Tennessee's been good to us, both of us.
It has, brother. I'll take that.
Yeah, all day long.
Absolutely. And I'm Congressman Tim Burchett, and I thank y'all for listening to another episode of Tennessee Talks. And as always, thank y'all for sending me here.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Tennessee Talks. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Keep up with Congressman Burchett by following Rep. Tim Burchett on Twitter and Instagram, and Congressman Tim Burchett on Facebook and YouTube.